Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
Radio, and we hang out at allpoetry.com, and it's free to join if you're a member, or if you happen to join, click on the tab that says groups and look up A Team of Voices, and you can hang out with us. We're here almost every night of the week with a different topic, different hosts, different kind of fun. Hope to see you there. If you'd like to call in, the number to join the show is 1-646-668-2837. And tonight we will be featuring a word bank and art by Ciro Marchetti, who is an artist who does beautiful work, and then they turn his gorgeous work into puzzles. Some of his stuff really fascinates me, and I couldn't help myself. I decided that everybody should go look at all his art and write a poem. That is where we are tonight, and hello, Hatter.
Hello, hello. I'm here.
Hello, hello. And I would like to say hello to Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life. Hello, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy you're here. And right behind them is Miss Sky, Sky, Sky. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
And right behind, I was going to say Sky's from like LCN and Poetic Slice and a team of voices. So she's like a jackass, not ass, S-E-S-S, the jackass of all trades. And right behind her is David. Welcome to the show, Dave Prophet.
Hey, thank you, Deb. Thanks.
And last but not least, Mr. Wayne Jen. Hello. Welcome
well, happy
to the show.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. Nice to be here on Labor Day.
And you as well. Kind of almost forgot it was. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, me too.
And, okay, so here we are. I'm going to do it real quick, but since I never really bring a poem to my own shows, I'm just going to do mine real quick because in this particular instant, the word bank that people had to choose from if they chose to use it, although, you know, we won't spank anyone who didn't, whether they ask us to or not, came from this poem. And, of course, this is also a piece of art by Ciro. But this piece is one that AP and Hatter had written one of the collaborations to, but I liked the photo so much that I wrote to it as well. And it's called If the Castle Walls Whispered Tales. And here we go. Kitty cats and men in hats with fairy tails that fly, dragonflies and dangling keys, twin chandeliers and a butterfly. The queen, her guards, those playing cards stuffed inside her hair. A jester bows at center stage, juggling a girl in a ring on the air. The puppeteer yanks every string with his fingers commanding everything. Dressed in purple and red, satin hats in their heads, people stare at the clown ballerina as she sleeps on the floor, not in a bed. The wooden boy with the nose that grows gawks at the lady in drapes, but not clothes. Lady Gray stares at herself today in the handheld mirror with the blurred display. Silver candelabras burn lemongrass wax, and the pigeons fly off with nail tied in stacks. A head holds a flute, blowing whistles that toot over the man in the high-collared suit. Now, as the rag doll with pigtails sits on the floor tiles with the ball, the girl in the orange masks reads books to them all. End poem. So that's my word bank. And you guys can just jot a comment if mood strikes you, because I am going to go grab a poem by Kay. There we go. And we're going to see what my word bank produced. And
I'm sorry, Deb. I got booted off. You got booted off. I just got back.
Sorry, what did you say?
I got booted off while you were reading, and I just got back. Oh. I had to.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're back, and Kay's about to read her poem. Kay, please.
If I may, because I usually like to go to the personal prompt folders and comment on everybody if I can, and I noticed that this was there, so I commented on this yesterday. So I'm going to leave my signature before I read. I do like
okay.
to get this. Plays out, because there is a lot here that you brought. The pictures, they do have a lot going on. But there were things that stood out to me, like the people stare at the clown ballerina as she sleeps on the floor, not in bed. Now the rag doll pigtail sits on four tiles of the ball. The girl in the orange mask reads books to them all. to me, when I saw that, I saw sadness. But I also saw the one being pulled by puppet strings. And as I said too, for all that is given, there is a lack of humanity in a way, as I see it, of being mistreated. But there's one that shows compassion. That's how I saw it. I could be wrong. But that's
no, I like that. I like that. Because, yeah, like you said, why is she on the floor, not a bed? And I did try to get a little endearing to have her end it with at least, sometimes nothing makes you feel as good as a child as a warm bed and a bedtime story. So it just seemed like, so, you know, you got it. Thank you.
Before you read it, if I might just say that. Before Kay reads, if I might just say that, I thought this was great. I don't think you missed anything in that picture, and there's so much going on that it'd be difficult to catch everything, but I think you did. And with the ballerina, maybe she just had a bad back because, you know, they say sleeping on the floor is good for your back.
Sometimes.
I don't know. But this is
well, that's an optimistic way to look at it anyway. But should it be that sugar-coated? But cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I call mine Mass of Redemption. Powder of snow bristles the fields, blowing the yanks that pull her center stage. Stitch the weaving in the fabric that clothes red ribbons command in her satin. Watch the blood alter the water. A stain untreatable as her feet crunch in the leaves, scared of hunger. The crackling of music locks and loads a barrel of her. As the wind brushes her cheek, hands of time comb the hair. Hollowness broke the dam and feeling. On her knees, the lady of winter in the bones bites a chill of autumn, aching for the guards of chandeliers to silence. Its color in a fallen leaves, weeping, as it has no afghan of armament upon sleep. The lids close, open the window of complexity to mirror the stairs. A breath is stilled in strings of dressed steps, beauty of cards, bows, and pumps.
Holy smokes. This one really grabs you from the very beginning, but I keep getting pulled back to the last line of the first stanza. A stain untreatable as her feet crunched in the leaves, scared of hunger. And she, you know, I mean, she could be doubled over with hunger there, so that the image and the feel and the fear is pretty strong by this point. And then as the wind brushes her cheek, hands of time comb her hair, hollowness broke the dam feeling. Oh, and the last one there, too, bites the chill of autumn, aching for the guards of chandeliers to silence. The overwhelming sadness there, the despair, the fear, the emotion is, like, incredibly strong in this one. And there's just something also about as the wind brushes her cheek. Hands of time, comb the hair. And don't yell at me, Sky. I said that one already. I'm just repeating it. but, like, I think this is actually my new favorite by you. It's really the emotions grab me there. And the title, Holy Mass of Redemptions. This is one of my favorite by him. And I think that you paid incredible homage to this art, and I am definitely impressed.
Thank you.
Sky, would you like to comment?
Here we go. Yeah, I absolutely love this one. You know, I said in my comment, I loved the sound of the music box floating in the barrel. I thought that was quite brilliant. But I would have to say my favorite part was down a little bit lower, right after, actually, probably led into it, was that as the wind brushes her cheek, hands of time, combed the hair, hollowness broke the dam, and feeling. I think it is such a beautiful way to speak of sadness, to speak of time, and things that have passed kind of combing our hair and reminding us, something very physical, I guess you would say, bringing a physicality to emotion. You know, sometimes people say, oh, yeah, you know, emotion isn't a physical thing, but in poetry, you can put corporeal form into it, and it is, and a feeling is very real to us. So I like that, I guess you would say, corporeal form that you put to emotion. And then, you know, also implementing the metaphor within the seasons, within that coldness of the winter and in the autumn and in the beginning of autumn's chill. I think it was quite brilliant and very emotive, emotively driven, especially in that stanza. Brilliantly done.
Thank you.
Excellent comment. And I am going to get a comment from Wayne, but just give me one moment. Hello, the Queen of Canada, Lady A, is here. Welcome to the show.
Lady A.
Hello, hello,
Lady
how
A.
are you?
Hello, hello,
everyone.
Glad you're here. And
Thank you. That
warm breath that you hear right behind you, or should I say feel right behind you, is none other than a grass man.
Hey, grass.
What's up, everyone?
Hey,
how you doing?
So awesome to see you again so soon. Fantastic. I'm glad you're here. And I'm just getting some comments for Kay. And they have a show, so I want to get them for her. Wayne, please.
Yes. Yeah, this is a wonderful poem. You hit the picture prompt perfectly. You know, when you said on her knees, the lady with the winter in her bones fights the chill of autumn, aching for the guards of chandeliers to silence. That's the picture right there. It's everything in the picture. The reader was great, and the flow was superb. And this may be my favorite poem of yours too. And so it's just so smooth. The lady of cards bows, and so do I. This is amazing. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And let me get one from Stephen while I get your link, please.
Yeah, I like this too. I thought this was amazing. To me, I told you in my comment before, this speaks to me of both strength and frailty at the same time. You know, just because there appears to be toughness on the outside doesn't mean that one of them breaking on the inside. That's kind of what I saw with your imagery. And yeah, I think it's an awesome right to the picture.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And Stephen, if you would read yours for us, that would be great.
All righty. I call this, as the house of cards gets taller, the foundation is forgotten. A game of chance or skill and strategy? Building this house with knaves, coated decks of suited faces, angled to lean upon spades. Crimson cardiac cards, foundations start, red king and diamond queen of idioms, but air grew thin as eyes did close, hasty degrees and tilts tottered ties. Tails began to layer upon one-eyed jacks, aces once stuffed in sleeves now lay flat upon checkered floor. The jester squints and pulls, Five clubs and eight ebon banjos from the bottom of the bevy. Just a blowing breath of rectitude will topple this ware as tarots flutter like fronds, revealing the face of the joker behind the mask who must lay in the bed that was made. End poem.
Fantastic. You know, I really love how it's like a color commentary from the, like you're watching them and you're giving us the blow by blow as we go. Hey, I'm a poet, but there's a game of chance or skill and strategy. Red King and Diamond Queen of idioms, but air grew thin as eyes did close. Hasty degrees and tottered tiles. It's like, I like the jester squints and pulls five clubs and eight ebon banjos from the bottom of the bevy. I love the wording that you used. I, like I said, my favorite part is that it felt like you were there and you were giving us the blow-by-blow details. And he's inching ever closer to his 200th 210, so bravo on that. Very impressive. But the read was great. The story was really fun. I liked that. Like I said, my favorite part is that you were, it was like you were, you know, just another radio hosting segment, and you were telling us what was going on, and you did it brilliantly. It was really a fun share.
Thanks, Deb.
David, will you comment for
Steve? Yeah, I agree with what you had to say about him being there and commenting on this process with the jester. To me, this had a sort of a dimension to it. The flatness of the cards and where they were juxtaposed, you know, to the other cards in the deck and stuff. It kind of reminded me of that. You know, like this next to the last stanza, the jester squints and pulls five clubs and eight ebon banjos from the bottom of the bevy. You know, it's he's pulling cards out and they're coming off from underneath things, and I don't know. That's just me. I that's what I took away from it. But I liked it. It was really cool. I liked the way you read it and the way it's written. It's really, really good.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I'm going to do this a little bit backwards, but Kay, will you comment for Stephen, please?
Yes. I think it's a great share to the prompt because the picture had a lot of cards in it, and it looked like the court jester of all of his cards. So I like how you played on that. The cards played, dealt, and laying in the bed that was made. Cards of many, the cause and effect of it all. That's what I see. It's a great share.
Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you, Kay. And Hatter, while I get Sky's poem, will you comment for Stephen, please?
Did you say Hatter? Oh, I think she is.
I did.
Yeah,
old man. She said Hatter.
I think I'm unmuted.
You're unmuted.
I am muted.
No, you're muted. you're muted. None of us hear you.
Yeah, it's all a house of cards, man. It's all a house of cards. Tails began to layer upon the one-eyed jacks. Aces once stuffed and sneezed. That's the same artist, Deb?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Ciro Marchetti. And, well, I'm sure you remember the photo from when you and AP did the collab. But yes, it's the same artist as tonight, and it's where the word bank for tonight came from.
You know, you got to wonder where these guys, their imagination are. I mean, too many drugs in the 70s,
60s. Yeah.
Indeed.
I'm sorry. Did you comment on the?
I was supposed to keep talking.
I was playing with my phone.
I'm sorry. Give me my little job, but I can't even do it.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, how about Gress? Will you comment for Stephen?
Most definitely. Basically, stated on his poem, I thought it could be more of a symbolism of how it can relate to current times of how people in charge can hold all the cards of life in balance. I really, the line that got me thinking about current times is the Crimson Cardiac Cards Foundation to start Red King and Diamond Queen idioms. Well, the Red King, in my mind, is the, Trump. And he's the Trump card, and Diamond of Queens of idioms is the other lady in charge of the house. And so I get it as being a more of a, the current times how people in charge can hold all the hold all the cards. I like his symbolism here. It's very good. Good job.
Thank you, Chris.
Cool. Awesome comment. Now, Stephen, will you tell us what's happening at the mortuary tonight and what's happening Wednesday, please?
Sure. Tonight is the Mortuary of Shadows at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, just a little over an hour away. And it is open dark poetry tonight, so just bring something to scare us. That's what we're hoping for. I want to get scared. I don't want to sleep a wink tonight. Y'all got to scare me. I'm kidding, by the way. Wednesday is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and that's 10 p.m. Eastern. And Kay found a lot of neat paintings from the artist named Leonid Akhmatov, all about fall, all autumn-type paintings to write to, and they're beautiful. Really got to go there and check it out. It definitely will spark the muse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got going on.
Awesome, and I agree, they're gorgeous. They have it might sound weird, but they seem to have like a wet feel.
Yes.
It's hard to explain. But I finished mine, and I like it, so I will see you at both of those. Now, in the meantime, this guy, I thought you might want to do a threefer here. How about you comment for Stephen, you push your show, and then you read a poem for us?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot to keep organized. Stephen, I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I loved the internal message about how those who build and put themselves on pedestals, those quote-unquote kings, whoever they might be, you know, how they kind of build their stories and slip those aces in their sleeves and try to cheat their way through things. But at the end, they're of their own demise. You know, their true colors show, and you can see the gesture, and they become the joke of themselves. So I really like that whole internal metaphor. Really well done there.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you. And I have a show on Tuesday and then Team of Voices. And down the tube, really random stuff with Miss Darkholm. There's four prompts that are really random. There's some watermelon snow. There's some marble caves. I got a glimpse of Stephen Hill, and I didn't read it yet. It's in the caterpillar and snake blend, which we tried to even look at. So that's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here. And over at a Poetic Slice on Saturday, 8 p.m., we're celebrating the film A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks, Gina Davis, come over, write about the film, scenes, quotes, whatever you want. No homework required. A little bit of fun. That's it.
That's a big deal. There's almost always homework required.
All right. Now I've had to watch the Alice in Wonderland like every day for the past 4 days, sometimes both of them. So please excuse this. This is the effect of it. The wood owl, and the tick-tock clock. I dark. The rooster ticked a talk at 8:15, and with heavy feet and a sad trotting feet, the yellow warble worried she would be late. Her golden feathers were in a blithering row. A mad, frazzled flutterwacken danced with time, for she thought the talk to wake was now. But when she saw the talk was off by 2, the wall of the clock she used to time her brew, she knew with a fuss that it must be a soup. Her wrist clock watch was set 10:30, and the fear that the gears were a stutter came to a tick-tock heart shot of an end. Perhaps it was quite right to say it was start, for instead of primly going on with her day, the yellow bird thought a very fine day. She wished to rightly fix the stuttered flock and did not care of silly important businesses like telework or even hunting for snarks. So with a tool or two or three or 16, she started tinkering with mechanical pins, the outs and ins, and all of the in-betweens. Now it was in short, a little-known sport that the wood owl hooted his first retort every night at the hour of 9:03. So indeed she had tinkered and tinkered without so much of a blink or pause, all for what she called the tick-tock cause. And what of the timely wood owl, say you? Did the clock at last reach 9:03? Were the ticks finally in line with the right time? Were the talks at last brought in tune? Sadly, we'll never know, for the warble took the wood owl and the wrist clock watch and drowned them both in the lagoon.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Well, my, oh, my.
If you can't beat them, drown them.
God, Sky.
Well, there's a moral for you. The moral of the story is murder. No, this is cool. And while you were sitting there reading, I was sitting there thinking, man, I don't know. You draw. I don't know why you're not illustrating this and making it into a kid's book. Some of the stuff you do is just like, wow, the details, and you have so much fun, and all the questions, and with stuff like hunting for a snark. I like the way you just dive in, and if they don't have a word to teach you, you just make one. And I think that is, like, beyond cool. I'll just invent my own. The stuttered clock, you can almost picture the cuckoo not quite getting each coo. It's like, so it's just like the little details that make you grin. But like I said, then we get to the end where the tox at last brought in tune. Sadly, we'll never know, for the warble took the wood owl and wrist clock watch and drowned them both in the lagoon. Very, very clever ending. So, like, she wrapped it up with a cute little bow and a giggle at the end. Now, on top of all those details, I think you did a fantastic job. And I love that these particular ones that have a touch of the steampunk, the prompts, they just suck you right in. But they do, and then they inspire you like crazy. So, amazing. Great job. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you, Deb. Deb, I just want to say, because I don't want to take credit for something that's not mine, a snark is Lewis Carroll. So the snark
No,
is
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, it made me think, that word, which is also, in my opinion, is an invented word or slash character, just reminded me, like, you're notorious for your words that you just, like, you have a couple. Of course, now that I'm trying to, I can't think of any that you've used in the past, but I know that you do. And it's cool. Anyway, let me get a comment from Kay, please.
Yeah, I think the way this reads, it's perfect because the elements of time, the picture I see has a lot of elements of time there. So the fact that you played on that, I think, is spoken to quite well. I like how you bring in the different times of the day, the brokenness that was often time. And as I said, in tune, who knows? Because I think the bird and the cuckoo clock had a mind of their own. This definitely has a great flow of rhyme, and, yeah, it stitches the tale up just right. Both side of murder.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, would you like to comment before you guys go get ready for your show?
Yeah, please. First, I'm going to steal Hatter's thunder.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to quote Danny Kaye from The Court Jester and say, "The flagon with the dragon holds the brew that is true." I like this a lot. I like the title because it makes me think of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But I really also like all the ticking and the talking, and it made it feel like a children's story. But then you end it with a Brothers Grimm twist and bring in the darkness of death, which really tickled me. So, yeah, very excellent write.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yep.
Awesome comment. And before I get another, let's say hello to AP down under. Hey, AP. Glad you're here.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
Not so bad. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, AP. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you.
I am just going to get another comment or two for Miss Skye. Were you here in time to hear her, AP?
I wasn't, but I'll go back.
Okay, cool. And I will get a comment from Wayne, please.
Yes. This is a great poem, and I had fun all the way through it. But you, I was halfway through the poem. You was halfway through the poem before I could read the title. I kept saying, wow, what's that say? Anyway, it was a great, great poem. Great. It's a tongue twister. It's riddles, and it asks a bunch of questions. And it just amazed me, this poem. I was having a great time through it. I was everywhere. And I like what you said. You said, oh, you ended up with a tragedy. It started out kind of funny, and then you keep getting killed. But that's the way it goes. But so it's a brilliant concept. I like the poem. It's a great read. And I think it's time to pause. For all we got, she called TikTok calls. That's great. Great poem.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And can I get a comment from Lady A, please?
Yeah, I thought it was very whimsical and fun to read, and it was. I agree with you when you say you should have some kids' books published, poems and stories that you tell through your poems. And I like, where does it say here? I like the this line in particular when, so with a tool or two or three or 16, I love that, she started tinkering with mechanical pins, the ins and the outs and ins and all the in-betweens. I don't know why I like it, but I like the way that you've put in like the ins and outs, but the in-betweens is what really jumps out at me at that verse, but this is a brilliant piece.
Thank you, Lydia.
Awesome comment. And AP, can you put your poem on the board and comment for Skye before you read,
sure,
please?
I will. I love a mad, frazzled, flutterwhack and dance with time. It's brilliant. I just wanted some more made-up words. I just thought it's just so cool. I love the title too, but give me flutterwhacking any day of the week.
Well, you know, Hatter does the best flutterwhacking. Stay tuned.
Well, he does. There you go. Brilliant work.
Hey, you know, the
Hatter is
Mr.
Flutterwhacking. Flutterwhacking. We read the Jabberwock last night. It was last night.
I did. No, I did. I was
you.
Before.
Hey, yeah. Hatter, you remember when you made me read it as a little girl?
Yeah.
Jabberwock.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is,
well, Skye got to push her show. Stephen and Kay had to go. And, oh, I'm just such a poet tonight.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. So, without further ado, if you would take us away, AP, that would be great.
Okie doke. So, I guess, you know, if you're gods, you do dress-ups as well, and that's what this took me to. I don't know quite why, but this is Added Malt, and it goes a little bit like this. The center stage was the grand designer, surrounded with red, purple, their scene. A puppeteer of satin to nebulae finer. She wore a headdress fit for a queen. Commanding could choose any form in the planet based on galaxy's prow of a mask chosen by gold tones warm. The grand one had appeared as a cow. Now was dressed up day at the ranch where all the gods did go hang out. Another was amoeba, trilobite trance. They waited for the judges to scout. From there, they were draped in chiffon as they floated within our guards. Instead, from the cantina jazz was on. We're all dressed as if Tatooine baths. When finally results were announced, no beef would sweet see winner's result. By whistles, staked a win, so flounced up to a bar for a margarita with malt. In time.
Who's eating? Make up noise.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry.
Background noise.
Yeah, somebody needs to mute. I was trying to find it while you were reading AP. I apologize, but I couldn't figure out where it was coming from.
No, yeah, that's
would,
okay.
Would you mind reading it again? I mean, that was really horrible.
No, that's fine. Okay. It seems quieter now, so that's good. So this is with malt, and added malt. It goes a bit like this. The center stage was the grand designer, surrounded with red purple Essene. A puppeteer of satin to nebulae finer, she wore a headdress fit for a queen. Commanding could choose any form in the planets based on galaxy's prow. Of a mask chosen by gold tones warm, the grand one appeared as a cow. Now was dressed up day at the ranch where all of the gods would go hang out. Another was amoeba, trilobite, tranche, as they waited for the judges to scout. And here they were, draped in chiffon, as they floated within absent guards. Instead, from the cantina, jazz was on. We're all dressed as if Tatooine baths. When finally results were announced, no beef with sweet, see winner's results. By whistles staked a win so flounced, up to the bar, for a margarita with malt. In poem.
That was much better. At least I could hear you that time. Added malt. I was wondering where you were going to go when you chose your title. Center stage was a grand designer surrounded with red, purple air scene. A puppeteer of satin and nebula finer. She wore a headdress fit for a queen. I thought your command of the flow there and the rhyme was amazing. Where is that? And there they were, draped in chiffon, as they floated with absent guards. Instead, from the cantina, jazz was on. We're all dressed in a tattoon. I can't even say it.
Tatooine.
Tattoony
Tatooine.
Bards. Oh, my Tatooine goodness.
Bars. Star Wars.
It's the jazz band from the Tatooine from Star Wars, of course.
I couldn't say it. I was like, oh, that. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, by whistles, staked a win, so flounced up to the bar for a margarita with malt. And I'm just like, this was very cool. I love the use of the word bank. Like I said, mentioned already, it was very cool with the rhyme and flow. And I actually find myself a little bummed that Sweet's not here, because I wonder if when you put something such as no beef with Sweet, see winner's result,
yes,
this is going to be a poem that was written for her too. Because you know how she seems to claim them. It's a very cool share. I'm glad you were able to call. Wait a minute. I believe there's a possibility that she came in time to claim this poem. So hold on 1 second. Let me let my sweet in. Sweet.
I hear my name.
See? Well, how about if you peek at that poem that's got your name in it and see if you decide to claim it while I let Frank in. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello, everyone. It's always a pleasure.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there, my friend.
I'm going to get a comment while Sweet takes a peek, and then she can let us know whether or not she's going to claim that as a poem that she wrote for Sweet. So how about if I get a comment from Sky, because I don't know how much longer she has.
Yeah, I thought this was quite brilliant. Your play on language is always really appreciated. I think you're quite clever, and you choose words very carefully, very particularly, and just weave them together wonderfully. I loved the part where you speak of And there they were draped in a chiffon, a chiffon as they floated within absent guard, and then all the way down to the dress as if tattooed barred. Absolutely brilliant. I think that's my favorite stanza. I know it's my favorite stanza. I enjoyed the entire piece, but that stanza, I think it was a tattoo barge that really sold me. But again, it was quite clever. quite brilliant too. Again, with the wordplay with the beef with sweet and I don't know if you were trying to make a cow joke, but. Was quite successful. a little bit of chuckling there, and you rolled it all in quite nicely. Brilliantly done.
Thank you. Thanks, Angela.
Awesome comment. So, my sweet, what do you think?
Well, it, of course, it's about me. It's a cow with a headdress and a bar with a bunch of Star Wars characters. How else could this not be my poem? It's fabulous. I love this, and I love it's a Tatooine bar. And they're playing jazz, of course. Yeah. This is fabulous. I love the wording. I'm not sure I want a margarita with malt, though. That might be pushing it. Maybe extra salt. But malt.
He was tying back the cow. Couldn't have it with salt.
I know, but even a cow with malt, just something about tequila and malt. But they do have seven stomachs to process it through, so or
they
eight.
Do.
I'm not quite
they
sure.
Do.
Yeah, you'd have to process through.
Thank
and
you.
I love the colors. And I love that picture, by the way. That's just brilliant. Brilliant poem, as always. Love it.
Thank you.
And anytime you can make a cow joke and I'm in it, that's just brilliant.
No. I made two or three as I went past. You there, Deb? Hello, Deb.
Hello? Am I talking to my mute button?
You bet.
Sorry.
Yes, you
there
are.
There I am.
Yes.
That figures. I was sitting there giggling, too, because, like, sweet, did you happen to hear that part of my comment was saying that I wish you were here to notice?
Yes, I did
that you were
that.
In there, or?
I did. No, I heard all of that. I heard the last few lines of this poem, and then I heard some comments,
cool.
And then I heard you say, I wish Sweet was here, and I'm like, I am here. Little do you know.
Yeah, well, I imagine my surprise when I got there and saw it. It was like, okay, we summoned her. AP put the poem on the board, and the word Sweet was in there, and it summoned you before it even made it to it, the first word out of his mouth. She claims them all, ladies and gentlemen, so if you put the word sweet in there, just know that she knows it's for her. Just saying. Let me get another comment. Oh, Hatter, will you comment for AP?
Oh, he's on mute, too.
We lose him
Malt.
Again. Let me see here. Yes,
I've got a comment. I can comment.
Well, Wayne, please do.
There's no way no one can write a poem this balanced. The second reading was great. This is a top to bottom or bottom to top poem you can read either way. The rhyme was excellent. Every line carries the meaning of the poem. You got to be cheating. You got to be. It's too perfect. Poems read this great are either are great either way. Read is great. I love this poem. It is wonderful. I like to dance right now. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
Awesome. And let me get one more from Lady A.
I thought that it was great. I just hang on a second. I've lost my spot. I was going to pick that prompt as well, but I chose another one. But I think that you. You have a great command of the language, and I think you have a great command of your own style, which I can pick out in a crowd, pretty much. And I thought it was really great. I thought you had it was whimsical and fun, and extremely creative. It was a wonderful piece.
Thank you. Thank you, lady.
You're welcome. awesome comment. And let me see. I forgot to mark this down, so let me see who's reading next so I can get them to comment. The next reader is Dave. So, Dave, will you comment for AP while I grab your poem?
Yeah. I really like this. how unique that you would think to put in a Star Wars poet. I would have never thought of a Tatooine poet. It's really cool,
yes.
AP. And it's really amazing. And I like the whole thing. It was just really fun to read. It was whimsical, and it was written in your inimitable style, and quite good. I really liked it. One of my faves of yours. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So, Deb, I'm going to go back and have some lunch. So
thank
you, as always, for the prompts. They're good
fun.
Thank
you for going on your lunch
thanks
break.
Thanks for being here, AP.
Talk soon. Love and
thank
respect.
You. Thank you. I will. And thanks to everybody, and we'll catch you pretty soon.
Sounds like a plan.
Bye.
Okay.
Thanks, Deb. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
And Dave, you're still on the board.
Okay. All righty. I didn't quite know what to do with this when I first looked at it. I liked it a lot, and when I started writing it, it just sort of came together. That's usually the way most of my stuff is. This one's called The Time Tenders, and just bear with me. There's a little bit of science involved in it, so I'll try to explain it. For each second that passes, an eternity played out in Planck Time's impossible card games, whose face cards bear the countenance of protons, neutrons with positron jacks that die to be different in charge but identical in mass. Children of the protons, two up quarks wear positive two-thirds charge upon their red satin orbs, while their twisted sister down quark, this clumsy ballerina in a minus one charge, particles of fermions and baryons make up the rest of the deck that swim in the undertow of time. An ancient race whose books studied by collared dragonflies in their quest for juggling sections of the time pie. I'm hearing a lot of background racket right now. I'm trying to read.
Yeah, can somebody mute, please?
You want me to start over, Deb, or you want me to start?
Sure, Dave.
On this, huh? What?
Sure, please do.
Yes.
Okay. For each second that passes, an eternity played out in Planck Time's impossible card game, whose face cards bear the countenance of protons, neutrons with positron jacks that die to be different, in charge but identical in mass. Children of the protons, two up quarks wear a positive two-thirds charge upon their red satin orbs, while a twisted sister down quark, this clumsy ballerina in a minus one charge. Particles of the fermions and the baryons make up the rest of the deck that swim in the undertow of time. An ancient race whose books studied by collared dragonflies in their quest for juggling sections of the time pie. Transparencies in Planck length stretched it over a behemoth framework of silver neutronium pirated from distant neutron stars by those purple queens disguised as astronauts, weaving their gentle thaumaturgy as the universe sleeps. This giant timepiece marks a slice of time for all events and lives in the universe, with its transparent, translucent face bearing symbols of the zodiac to all the constellations that look into its well-ordered face. Each of us possesses our own window of time, our mass curves space-time bending time along a scalar quantity still pointing into future vectors. The timekeepers of the machine are forever bound to its mechanicality, for they are eternal, until the ends of time, as the last star winks out, as the universe goes cold and dark and dies, such a sadness cannot be endured. Her purple litten fragrance floating upon the night breezes carries cotton candy and gunpowder into these woods as she speaks to me, weeping in sub-octave RF. Oh, David, my man, I cannot bear to lose my children, my stars of the universe and thee. She was weeping crystalline tears in polar purity as I kissed him from her dark matter cheeks while her photons raced under her translucent blackness. Fear not, my queen. That is an eternity along the X vector, and I shall be with you for as long as you shall have me. Thank you, David. And dark mother kissed me. End poem.
I really like the time tenders. It's for some, I don't know why, the time tenders made me feel like Doctor Who-ish. But I like
the
title.
Yeah, I know.
For each second that passes, an eternity played out. It was like right from the very beginning, you set us up for suspense, like we should be on the edge of our seat. Eternity played out. What are we playing? And then you bring us the details of the card game. Children of the protons, two up quarks, where, plus two-thirds charge? Whoa,
mm-hmm.
Now you're getting all brainiac on us again. the particles of the fermions and the baryons made up the rest of the deck that swim in the undertow of time. I really like the undertow of time. You can almost picture like time twirling or something, or pulling like the undertow does. Where's that other?
Mm-hmm.
This giant timepiece marks a slice of time for all events and lives in the universe, with a translucent face bearing symbols of the zodiac. The details that pull out all the aspects of the photo are spot on. Her purple litten fragrance floating upon the night breezes carries cotton candy and gunpowder. Well, of course it does. How could it not carry it? If the Dark Mother is here, we know we smell that gunpowder and cotton candy because that scent is years old, and I still think that somewhere somebody will or already did make a gunpowder cotton candy. And you know, the smell of a toasted marshmallow is pretty good, so I think that flavor, your flavor combo, or I'm sorry, scent combo probably tastes, smells like a roasted marshmallow. Just saying. But anyway, such a sadness cannot be endured. That part was like, oh. So you had a lot of emotion pulled in, and you had, of course, the sights and sense of your beloved Dark Mother in there. And the thank you, David, the Dark Mother kissed me. So there's your sweet ending. So I think that you did a great job with the story here. You really, really brought the words from the word bank and the photo itself to fruition with a great addition to your other stories. Let me get you some comments.
Down at the bottom there, Deb, there's a glossary there that explains this a little bit.
Wayne?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say Wayne.
Can I get a comment from Frank, please?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Anybody hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Wayne.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had a comment. I said, well, what a trip. This noise, the noise was terrible in the background when he started up a while ago, but the second reading was great. And this is a complex poem of scientific wonder. I learned more from this poem than I did in four of my engineering classes. It's a great poem, pretty detailed, and I enjoyed the read. It's good all the way through. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And can I get a comment from Frank, please?
Yes. This was a very, well, I have to say you took me on a course here, a physics here, with references to Max Planck. You brought in the neutrons, the positrons, and you brought in the electrons. You brought in so much of the quirks as well. I really like the dynamics of this poem here. I know some will say it's too scientific, but I don't see it that way. I think that everything of nature is very intellectual. Not only that we need to write about it, it's there. You know, we don't need to represent it so much. We just need to discover its wonders. I like the way you just interwove this piece here with references as well. You bring up the thaumaturgy ophthalmology, which generally is more religious of miracles, but it's also something that has to do with if I'm not mistaken, with magic. So this piece had that element, I felt, from time to time as you went on and you went from every stanza to stanza. It had those elements of that mystical feeling, well, beyond, you know, behind the aspect of science. And I think every one of these lines really had depth to it, had meaning to it. And I like that whole notion there of the my father, the universe, and thee, she was weeping crystalline tears. The way you just brought in science, but you brought in cosmicity. You know what cosmicity is, no?
No. Don't.
Well, it's a cosmicity is a term that that was coined, I would say, in the early 20th century. There, I'm trying to think of exact. It just means universality. That's what basically it means. And this poem here just brings in the whole cosmic feeling there. And I thought that you did a miraculous job with there, you know. And it's cosmicity is actually a word that was invented by Lovecraft, but it's also accepted not in the science realm, but it's accepted when you write science fiction. They are writers who will use Lovecraftian terminology, and one of his was cosmicity. And this was just you brought Lovecraft to me here as well, the whole science, because he was a science buff as well. So it was a great exceptional piece there. And I thought you did a wonderful job, you know, just bringing us the details and the metaphors and the usage of the word bank as well. It's very delightful. You know, as a man of science myself, I enjoy these type of writes here. It's not very often that I get them on AP, but did an excellent job.
Oh, thank you very much. Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
Awesome comment. And, Gress, will you comment, please?
Yeah, every time that Dave writes, we have like a moment in time where what I got out of this is that I've always wondered if not that we're part of some other being. We're atoms in a large, complex body somewhere. And this kind of like gave me a bit of that, you know, kind of like we're making up the atoms. The atoms there is in every complexity. They're every small detail. And then you have neutrons, protons, you know, neurons and those type of things. Are we not something that is that same composition of electric energy as what we are as humans? And it's kind of like the thing that he wrote about this and the technology of that and how the true measure of time, there is no real true measure of time. Time is only the fabrication of how we rotate our sun, not an actuality of what time is. So I really appreciate Dave's good thoughts here. Good job.
Thank you, Gross. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And how about a sweet comment, and then she can dazzle us with her poem.
All right, David. As my husband is sitting here playing with reactionary control
system rocket
from the space shuttle model prototype, and giggling at your poem because he loves the way it's written. I have to say, I kind of think it's cool, but I really thought the children of protons, two up quarks wear, plus two-thirds charge upon their red satin orbs, while the twisted sister down quark, this clumsy ballerina and one negative charge, was really about some twerking dance people were doing, because that's how it sounded to me. But.
Oh, you want to take it, babe.
That's how I thought. I was corrected.
That's okay.
By the scientists.
No,
with me.
No.
I love this, and I love the way you use dragonflies in their quest for juggling sections of time, pie. I really liked how it went. And as always, stories with the Dark Mother always seem to have like this special empathy and love and all of that that comes out, and as usual, I think you did a beautiful job. You know, there's a lot of always the science speak in there and things that I learn and X factors and space words and measures of length and time and things like that that I always have to go back and talk to Bob about. But I really did enjoy it, and I love crystalline tears. That's very pretty. Loved it, every bit of it. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I wrote it at 4:07 a.m. because that's when twerking and space words come together, I guess.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, you know, well, down in the author's notes, there's a glossary down there, and it explains what Planck time's all about and some of that, and some of, a little bit about quarks, fundamental particles, and that sort of thing. So I just found that a lot of people appreciate that if I put that in there, you know, if it's kind of techni babble-ish type stuff. Techno, I guess, yeah.
I thought
it
was fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So where am I? Oh, here I am. All right. This is Merry, Merry We Go Round. Some jealous lovers, a ballerina renegade dressed in red robin taffeta, with pretty eyes of saffron and skin made of cream, commands the ivory stallion of the dragonfly king. As passion rainbow drops smiles on shooting stars, an evil puppet master believes he pulls the strings, masking as a jester, a pauper, or a queen. As she rode around the world at midnight to the tune of the blues, watching humans ride the merry-go-round into dawn's orange glow, playing in whiskey bubbles and kaleidoscope colored shells. Leather sash sits on hips, a job she sent to do. In sunshine or rain, she gallops her way through. The opposite of her brother Cupid, her arrows aim to kill. Rapunzel's braided hair falls in silver-plated dreams. Men and women melt down into morning wax dolls. Roses red and carnations mark the dirt of the dead. In the skies of thunder gods and jealous lovers, a ballerina renegade dresses in red robin taffeta. The Pony Express queen delivered another letter. No return sender. Salutation, dear John. Another crystal teardrop shined Elvis the ivory stallion of the dragonfly king.
Wow, sweet.
It was great.
Yeah, right? Merry,
yeah.
Merry go round. And just something there was just like, why do I have a feeling that there might not be as much merry as the title insinuates? In the skies of thunder gods and jealous lovers, a ballerina renegade dressed in red robin taffeta, with pretty eyes of saffron and skin made of cream, commands the ivory stallion of the dragonfly king. I mean, sweet, you just told an incredible story in your first stanza, let alone pulling us through as passion rainbows drop smiles on shooting stars. I mean, talk about gorgeous, gorgeous imagery. So I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then an evil puppet master believes he pulls the strings. So you never know with sweet how we're going to go here. And then we have down further, Rapunzel braided her hair falls from the silver-plated dreams men and women melt down into morning wax dolls. I mean, you have some really abstract yet incredible images in this one, sweet. You pulled out these details that are like, wow. And at the end, back to those lovers in the sky, under gods and jealous lover, a ballerina renegade, and I feel like if you were braver, you might have been able to sing this one to us. Just saying.
Oh no.
I knew you would say that. But no, I think that this is really cool, especially no return sender. Salutations, dear John. Another crystal teardrop to shine. And I absolutely love the thought of a dragonfly king. So I think that you did a great job. Also, some incredible images tonight in everybody's poetry, bringing these to life with words. And sweet, you know you're brilliant. Let me comment. How about if I get a comment from Lady A, please?
Well, I thought this was really terrific. I loved the cadence of it, too, the rhyme in it. I thought it was, there were some lines that really actually sang out, especially that, the last line, another crystal teardrop to shine the ivory stallion of the Dragonfly King. Something about the Dragonfly King that really jumps out at me, and I thought you did a really great job. And I liked the leather satchel sits on hip, a job she sent to do. In sunshine or rain, she gallops her way through. The opposite of her brother Cupid, her arrows aim to kill. You know, and then you get the mourning wax dolls, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. I thought, you know, I thought this was roses red and carnations mark the dirt of the dead. So amidst all of the beautiful imagery that you have here, you have that dark part of yourself that's the murderous person that pulls wings off dragonflies. You know what I mean? Like, it's really a good mixture of the both of them.
Why, thank you.
It was really, really good.
Thank you, lady.
It is really, really good. Well, I love the way she put that, though, sweet. Oh, my goodness. So let me see. How about Hatter? You got a comment for sweet?
Yes, I do. Almost rhymed. You got places in here that just is aching me.
Mm-hmm.
What,
I know it's killing you.
Huh?
I know it's killing you. I've been rhyming so much lately.
Well, you got the morning black stars, roses red, and carnations markers in the dirt of the dead. These are places of wonderful rhyme. Gods and gentlemen, what's the other part? The dresses and red robin, taffeta. Is that a netting?
Taffeta? Yeah, it's like a fabric, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then Deb pointed out the Dear John, Salutations, Dear John. Nice place to put that, Dragonfly King. Excellent.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Gress, will you comment for sweet?
Yeah, I love how she always twists every story on this. He's starting along like a lollipop, and you're looking at really good, and then all of a sudden when you get to the center of it, it's not the Tootsie Roll. It's a piece of shit. So
why,
I really
you.
Love
I
that. And I love the similes that you laid down. It was very well done. And it's basically a human merry-go-round that never ends as we think it's going to end. So I appreciate that. Very good.
Thank you, Greg.
Awesome comment. And let me get one more from Wayne while I get his poem ready.
Well, man, I forgot, this is great. Every line is wonderful. Yeah, every one I read, I'd be just as good as the next. I couldn't pick out a favorite one. And I liked what you said, the opposite of her brother Cupid, her arrows aimed to kill. I think this girl was real sweet, and then I realized she is sweet. It's Sweet Pea, because she's that's what Sweet Pea is. So I kept reading lines, and I loved them all. And I'd read another one out loud, but I'd ruin it, so I don't want to do that. Thanks, Sweet. This is a great trip you took me on, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, Wayne.
Aww.
You're welcome.
So before you read, Sweet, will you push your next show, please?
Yes. Next show is Thursday night, and it is It has blah, blah, blah. It is at 11 o'clock, and it is if in 20 years you had to write a letter to yourself about today, what would you remember about yourself? And then Sunday night is Pretty Sweet Tease, and that is going to be from 10 to midnight over at the Adult Room, and that is going to be Love Me in a Song, or Love Me Through Your Love Song. So pick any kind of love song you've ever liked and love me through that song. So that's going to be our theme for Sunday night.
Like all kinds of funness. And
yep.
Thank you, my sweet.
Lay, lady, lay on my big brass bed. Oh, lady, lady.
Well, save that for Sunday. And Wayne, will you read for us, please?
Yes, I'll be glad to. This poem is called Aqua Aerial Satin Submarine. And here it goes like this. Take my bubblegum act to the palace in the pewter sky. On center stage, blonde ballerina and juggling jester up high. There's carrot clowns and puppeteers performing, never seen. Audience applause, traveling in the aqua aerial satin submarine. Name tag people whisper under crystal chandelier's lightness. Silver on satin, purple velvet drapes and candelabra brightness. Butterscotch boy bows to giggling girl with pigtails and hair. And dressed in chiffon suits, stuffed hats, and sycamore slacks, men stare. Guards shouting, whistles blowing, and Baster yanks wooden planks. Swinging, lemongrass-colored queen sings as people shout thanks. Leopard lady laughs, commanding assassinating kitty cats on string. Flute fingers, saxophone singers, as masked man makes piano keys sing. Ring. Aqua aerial satin submarine, tossing trinkets like the darts of dragonflies. Arching alcohol arms in almond air, announcing apricot goodbyes. In.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Take my bubblegum act to the palace in a pewter sky on center stage. Blonde ballerina and juggling jester up high. I like the images there, but take my bubblegum act to the palace. Just something about that just tickles my fancy. My bubblegum act. Name tag people whisper under crystal chandeliers, lightness silver on satin and purple velvet drapes. The descriptions are great. You pulled all kinds of vivid images here. Where's that? Guards shouting, whistles blowing, ambassador yanks wooden planks. Swinging lemongrass-colored queen sings as people shout, thanks, leopard lady laughs command. I mean, this is like crazy. There's so much fun imagery in there. How can you listen, you read this and not laugh? Saxophone fingers as a mask. Man-made piano key rings. But come on, like dart of the dragonflies. Arching alcohol arms in almond air, announcing apricot goodbyes. I mean, you were off the hook with your choices for your descriptions tonight. But I'm really keep going back to the bubblegum act. It's like I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before, which makes it such a brilliant, brilliant phrase there. But I like the way you played with it all the way through and turned it into a whimsical little tribute to the word bank and the photo. So and it seems like that you might have had fun with it, and that's always cool.
I did. Had a great time.
And you read it great. Let me get you some comments. How about Dave Prophet, please?
No, this was great. I just love this thing. I agree with you, Deb. That bubblegum act, that'd be a hard act to follow. Bubblegum act. The palace in the pewter sky. That's a good way to describe a kind of a leaden sky, I think. Blonde ballerina juggling jester up high. There's Carrot clowns and puppeteer performing never seen audience applause traveling in aqua aerial satin submarine. That's pretty neat. I just like all of this. It's amazing. The second stanza, name tag people whisper under crystal chandeliers, lightness, silver on satin, purple velvet drapes and candelabra brightness. And my favorite, butterscotch boys, bows to giggling girls with pigtails in their hair, in dress, saffron suit, stuffed hats, and sycamore slack. I can see a pair of sycamore slack. Jesus, that's funny. Oh, this is great, Wayne. I think this is great. I'm going to put this on my front page, man. This is fine.
Great comment, man. It's a great comment.
Wait, doesn't it make you feel good to be able to make somebody not be able to even give you a comment without laughing through it? That's pretty good.
No,
awesome.
I make my day. Here's my laugh. That's what it's all about for me. I just made my day.
Awesome.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Frank, will you comment?
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Yes, by all means. This had a very, how would I say, I'm going to write what I wrote. You said what I wrote. I thought, first of all, I thought it was very creative and magical in imagery. And it had a fanciful feeling, but it made me think of a tale of animation. I could just conjure in my mind, you know, the background to the storyline in an animation or in a film that of, you know, analogous to The Wizard of Oz. Now, that type of mystical feeling there, fantasy. It was just a superb and creative ride. I thought this was a very, very ingenious. I mean, you use the metaphors brilliant in this piece here. Your rhyming is always impeccable. But I enjoyed mostly the storyline, the narrative you presented here. And I know the prompt was in the background, was the inspiration. But, you know, a prompt itself only goes as far as it goes, you know, as far as your imagination goes, you know, it serves as an inspiration. But you have to have a bit of creativity, you know, with that imagination, or the prompt itself is going to be worthless. You, my friend, tonight you brought us a wonderful animated piece here that was, it had this fanciful feeling, but I thought it was just a fable, a tale of its own, and I thought you did a wonderful job, and you could perhaps branch this off into a short story that way. Or even to a children's story.
Yes, probably would be there. That would be. Anyway, when I looked at that picture, all I could think was a traveling circus. So when it's a traveling circus.
That's what I was trying to say.
That's what I wrote about.
That's the word I forgot to mention there. I had that type of atmosphere, but it was very, very. And you did bring me back to memories, although very few, but of times of the circus there when they used to come in into town, you would say.
Yep. Float into town. Thank you, Frank. It was a great comment.
Awesome, guys. And Gress, will you comment for Wayne and then read your poem, please?
Sure. I was taken back like it was a combination of like Wizard of Oz meets Narnia. And I love the images because it was like whimsical in nature, and then the type of the adjectives that you place on the dress of the different people kind of reminded me of Wizard of Oz, and then you had the flight of the submarine above head, and I was thinking it's Narnia. And so I really liked that, and I really appreciate the whimsical nature of it, and it really gave me a great imagination. I thought you did a great job on that.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Great comment.
All right. Well,
thank you, Wayne.
My poem here. It's called Imagination's Flight. This is written some time ago. I only put it to the show because it's kind of like a whimsical type of story, and it has a moral to it. So Imagination's Flight. I'm flying in my mind, taking you on a journey that will amaze even the host of the dream. Hold on and let me be your tour guide on the fantasy ride called Imagination's Flight. Coming up is clouds of silver linings. Even the greedy don't mind there, as we all need them sometime, as it would be wrong to take from others' sorrows just when they need it. We'll go to the greedy later, but save those silver-lined clouds for a rainy day.
Can you picture the hope and love irradiating from the droplets reach the people down below? To the left is a river of despair, a sad river of agony and gut-wrenching pain. Don't get too close because it will drag you in and drown you in the self-doubt. Wallowing in the river, you'll see a broken-hearted, the lonely, and most of all, the depressed. Only way out of the river is through God's amazing transformation and willingness of the person to want to change. Once in, like I said, it's hard to get out. Looky, over there, it's Mother Nature giving us a friendly wave of her lovely clouds and breezes. Give it up to her. She is nice now. I heard it's not nice to fool her. So I always wave back and think in my mind pleasant thoughts. If you want to see more of her, just walk outside any day of the week. There's no charge, and most of all, she would blow your mind with the way she can change at any moment. Dangerous area that many men have died over. It's called religious views. There are many, very many religions that should be celebrated together because they all have faith in something, but they quarrel over who is right. It's often frowned upon by many to talk about religious views, but I think the sight of the view should be accepted by all. Many beautiful wonders and excitement come while viewing from a religious standpoint. Whoa! You see that phoenix that just flew overhead? Those are rare birds that get toasted by the hottest flames and rise out of the ashes to fly up soaring heights. They have failed in flight at first, sailing into the abyss of fire. Determined by their failure, they learn that nothing can stop their ability. With the flames shooting from their wings, flying a blazing trail of freedom, and spirit overcoming failure, they rise to the atmosphere proud. Destination number one, boredom, defeat, anxiety, get off to proceed to other fantasy rides. Make sure to gather your blank mind and exit. Okay, that was good to unload the excess weight, and we'll get on with the next area. What is it? Here's yours to tell it.
Wow. I'm glad you went and got this one. It's got a little bit of attitude. It's got some awesome details. Imagination's Flight. Excuse me, I really love the title. In the second stanza, coming up is clouds with silver linings. Even the greedy don't mind there, as we're all need some time, and it would be wrong to take from others' sorrows. I think this also has that same narrated feel, like the one that Stephen had brought earlier, where it's like he was narrating the cards and stuff. Now I feel like you were just narrating us through this. Next up, this is a dangerous area that many men have died over. It's called religious views, and the sarcasm is there, underlined with the truth because it's true. I mean, you want to sort of scoff at it and laugh as it being a silly notion, but sadly it's not.
This is the lost instructions to how to play the game, right? Somewhat.
Instructions,
yeah.
I like.
It's the lost map. How to get somewhere? He's telling you how to do it. It's just like the narrative you mentioned before.
But this is really cool, Gress. I'm glad you went and pulled this. Destination number one, boredom, defeat, anxiety. Get off to proceed to your other fantasy ride. Make sure you gather your blank mind and exit. I mean, it's like I said, the sarcasm mixed with wit, mixed with truth, mixed with grit. I think you did a hell of a job with this. So,
thank you.
Appreciate you having me.
I kind of like went back to my Disney roots, kind of like a tour guide in somebody's mind when you start thinking of these things. And, you know, we all have these thoughts that's in our heads that we don't express them very often. So I basically wrote this when I was in one of those moods.
Good for you.
Oh,
Oh, okay. And let me get a comment from Dave, please.
Me. Oh, thank you. Grass, I thought this was outstanding. You know, I really liked the I didn't really see that much sarcasm in it as opposed to just you're speaking your own mind. And sometimes that kind of comes out with folks when they're really motivated as sarcasm. And it's really more slanted towards enthusiasm or whatever, you know, the drive it takes to write this. I like the that stanza that talks about religion. That's really true. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of a religion you have, if you have any. You know, it's all dedicated to worshiping a superior being, and it doesn't matter whether it's Allah or God or whomever. And it's childish to bash each other over different entities when they can care less, you know. But anyway, I like the message in this. It's just full of things that we should think about. And, you know, I don't know. I really liked it. I think it should be required reading.
The biggest thing is when I used to be on the Air Force Base, we had a rabbi and a Presbyterian minister as our religious people in charge of mm-hmm. the Air Force Base. And
mm-hmm.
both guys were just tremendous people and helped the veterans come in, you know, like my dad and everything. And it didn't matter. They didn't put their religious titles in it. They just did things to help other people. And that's something that I find amazing that I think every religion teaches, you know. So it's time mm-hmm. that we put those differences together and realize that we're here together on this world to try to help each other, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, thank
well
you,
done.
Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get a comment from Frank, please?
Yes, I have to say, if I can say, religion itself comes and goes, but man himself has endured the eons of time. What you present here, it's a very unique aspect, a perspective as well of the truth. You know, unfortunately, it's a truth that can be skewed or a truth cannot be accepted, but it nevertheless, it has a value of truth to it. And I do agree, I wish with what was said here by Dave, there is a sense where you have to realize that coming together, there is, you know, there's a value of coming together. Sometimes we get too mixed, too involved with our indifferences, you know, whether it's religious, political, mm-hmm. whatever, and we forget the elemental thing that makes us human, our own humanity. You know, we put forth a lot of things that separate us instead of putting things that unite us. And although this speaks about different viewpoints, or it's mostly a poem that has a moral, I do agree. There is a moral to this piece here, and it should not be forgotten here. There is a moral which is not contradictive. It is one that unites the perspective of nature and the perspective of human nature. So I thought you did a great job with that. You brought other elements as well, but I thought the poem really stood out for those reasons.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, will you comment for Gresson and read yours?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say how great it is to hear your voice, Gress, and to hear your poetry. It's been a while, and I hope that you call back more often, because you have been missed. And I thought this was very, how shall I say? It was a great prose, and the journey that you took through us through on it was brilliant. To your left is the river of despair, a sad river of agony and gut-wrenching pain. Don't get too close because it will drag you in and you'll drown. It will drown you in self-doubt, wallowing in the river. You'll see the broken-hearted, the lonely, and most of all, depressed. The only way out of the river is through God's amazing transformation and willingness to the person to want the change. Once in, like I said, it's hard to get out. I thought this was really a very interesting way of looking at life and the choices that we make as to and how we lead our lives and where we can end up virtually or spiritually. I thought your destinations were very provocative too. The destination number one, boredom, defeat, anxiety, get off to proceed to your other fantasy ride. Make sure to gather your blank mind and exit. It was, you know, the whole piece was very, very well written and very creative. I quite liked it, and I think that there's a message to be heard for all of us without getting into, you know, a religious debate or anything like that. I think that there's a great deal of spirituality in this, which is entirely different from religion. And I appreciate that, right? And what you've said here is a great piece.
Awesome.
The thing about depression, is that probably people don't realize when they're in it a lot of times, like I didn't, and you don't understand it until you have a spiritual relationship and you see inside yourself and you see that by helping others, helps yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the key to it. That's the key to anything is understanding that by helping your fellow man do something, instead of wallowing in your self-pity, you get out and do something. And it really helps you when you are depressed. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Very well done.
Thank you.
Awesome share. Great comment, everybody. Thank you, Gress. And Lady A, if you will dazzle us now, I appreciate it.
Okay, I wrote a poem called Tarot Cards and Mediums. Fabergé eggs of gold, Art Deco champagne flutes, ornate swords for knighthood, and scepters for the queen. Medium extraordinaire juggling cards while angels speak the truth. Tarot cards shuffled, messages en route for Alice and Kathleen. Air blows through the window and chandelier twinkled in the light. Red satin scarf wraps around her gypsy head. Hair escapes around her face and brushes golden hoops. 'Tis then she begins to speak messages from the dead. Butterflies, dragonflies flutter about the room. Purple pigeons play with Kitty on the moon. Spirits of love, loved ones manifested this afternoon, channeled by a gypsy girl, Claire de la Lune. Some say hocus pocus, some say evil devil. Grief can break your spirit, a message would ease the pain. Some say evil spirits can play the good spirit game. I say whatever gets you through the sorrow will bring a brighter tomorrow. End poem.
Wow. Tarot cards and mediums. Excuse me. I kind of would have thought you might pick this one because of the fact that, I mean, you just covered the topic, so you would have all this knowledge in your head from the information you were sharing on your show. And I like where you were. Sorry about the motorcycles going by. Fabergé eggs of gold, Art Deco champagne flutes. The
devil's in the details, and you shared them with us here. Air blows through the window, chandeliers twinkle in the light. Red satin scarf wraps around her gypsy head. But the one, butterflies, dragonflies flutter about the room. Purple pigeons play with the kitty on the moon. Spirits loved manifested this afternoon, channeled by a gypsy girl, Claire de la Lune. That's my favorite stanza, and not just because it's the butterflies are in there, because it's vivid and rhyming and alliterative, and it's just a sweet little treat all by itself, let alone all the great stuff that you have in here. Some say evil devil, grief can break your spirit, and that's like so true. And then the closing, I say, whatever gets you through the sorrow will bring a brighter tomorrow. Sometimes you got to take that brighter light somewhere you can find it, you know. Sometimes even though you might not be sure, it was enough to give you that glimmer of hope that sometimes is all it takes. I think this was an excellent share and a great expand upon the show that you did the other night. If anybody didn't listen to it, you ought to click on. There's a lot of great information in there. Let me get you some comments.
Thanks, Deb.
Hatter. Welcome. Hatter,
yes.
Comment for our queen.
Some say hocus pocus. Some say evil devil. Whatever floats your boat. Remember that coming up. So I'm just right tomorrow. Yeah, it seems like it's the answer to the questions. Butterfly, dragonflies flutter around the room. Purple pigeons play kitty on the moon. Nice rhythm in the access in the afternoon. Very good, Lady A.
Thank you, sir. Well, it's said that butterflies and dragonflies, birds' feathers, are all symbols or messages from loved ones gone. And so this encompasses, that verse encompasses all those things or some of those things that we see or feel about us after we've lost someone. And it says that those things are messages for us, whether, you know, they're captured at a moment of crying or just walking down the street, and I think that there's something to be said for that. I really enjoyed writing this piece, and the picture prompt was because there are some people that are gifted that way, and if there's nothing to it, if it's all fake, but it helps get you through that sorrowful time, that painful time, then good for it to work that way. You've got everything to gain and really nothing to lose, so appreciate your words, Hatter.
Awesome. And, Gress, would you comment for Lady?
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing, is that when you're in a state of grief and you are looking for answers, sometimes it's your own ability to take the words from others and use them. And the medium of the tarot readers or the crystal ball or those type of things, you know, yeah, they may incorporate some things in there, but you don't know for sure. So to me, it's like, if people can get help through that, that's fine with me, because in those times when we're grieving, everybody grieves differently, and to get some comfort from it is acceptable. And anybody that would say differently, then I think they just don't. They don't understand how you need that comfort from somebody else at a time when you're feeling your worst. And good job, Lady A.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment, Chris. And Frank, can you comment for Lady A, please, and then read your poem?
Yes. Oh, I have a phone call to mine. This is a very personal for me, to some extent. My ex-wife used to read tarot cards. I never mentioned this before. There is a difference between someone who reads tarot cards and someone who's a medium. there's a vast difference. I think that it's not really valued much, those people who have, and so it's a gift. I know it's a gift because most of the things I would, my wife herself, my ex-wife, would never say this is going to happen, you know, per se, and it's going to be a guarantee. She would always say, this is the possibilities you have. But the thing that really was remarkable about her ability was a secret I had no idea. I never mentioned this before, but she was able to tell me something my mother never told me, that she had lost a sibling, a child, which was a sibling of mine that I had no idea that existed. There is certain individuals who do have this talent and others who don't. But I think that this poem here does reflect a lot of, it gives us the elements there of what, I guess, it has a Victorian feel to me. I mean, it almost seems like it's Victorian. You know, I think of those impressionists as well, back in the, you know, in the early, I would say, no, early, I would say the mid-1800s there, you know, when that, the Victorian era, when a lot of these known writers, Stoker was one, and others, who would just be mesmerized by the afterlife. I know Wilde himself appeared, supposedly, from what I understand, years afterwards. There is testimony that Wilde appeared in one of these mediums here, his ghost. So there's a lot of interesting, fascinating things. Some of it is real and some of it can be contested, but there is an underlying truth to a lot of, you know, there is some facet of reality here that people do have the skill and the talent to do this. And the poem just reflects a lot of these elements. So I was really taken to memory lane with this poem. You did a great job here.
Thank you, Frank.
Awesome.
You're
so
welcome.
Your turn to dazzle us.
All right. You did get the song club, huh?
I am about to write now. Sorry
okay,
about that.
I'm sorry. I was wondering there.
The cerulean curtains open, and a lone puppeteer appears with a disruptive alabaster color mask of a gory genius, dressed in satin orange with ribbons and drawing pins. He begins to stir the strings of the dormant wooden dowels. With his masterful fingers, they move with the grace of butterflies upon the center stage like thespians of the cast of Shakespearean theater, delighting the whole audience with a magnificent performance. But the acts of this play bear a terrible and inscrutable truth, a portentous secret that is cleverly concealed behind the disguises, where the world of the dark realm of sheer horror reveals itself then, when the madness manifests into the hallucinatory distortion unmatched, and there is no escaping the horrid magnificence of this macabre reality. For you see, the puppeteer is a creation of your maniacal illusions. The actors are the mere reflection of your depravity and broken mind. The scenes to this play are the familiar scenes of your nightmares, and the unique mask he wears is the mask of your nightly tormentor. If you look deep into the mysterious mirror of this stage of performers, you will see clearly the suicidal guise of your destructive image unraveling, and the hallowed melting from the dulled tones into the crimson color of the veins of your slicing blood, as your mind spirals out of control. Act 5 has begun, the last act. Can you hear her gasping? Can you hear my laughter? In the poem.
Frank, you should make that your doorbell for Halloween. Just saying. I think the kids would run. Save a fortune on candy. Wow. Maniacal Illusions. I love the title. Love the title. And then the details in here, the cerulean curtains open and the lone puppeteer appears. The details and the use of the word bank are really incredible. So many pieces. When the madness manifests into the hallucinatory distortions unmatched, and there's no escaping the horrid maleficence of the macabre reality. I think that this has the terror at the haunted carnival demon clown kind of feel in the words and the details, and then especially between that demon breathing kind of thing you do there, gasping for air on the wind that freaks me out, and then you get to the maniacal laughter that closes out and is slowly becoming or quickly becoming your trademark, all ties it up into a nice little package. And then with your the drama in your read and the details and the tap in the background, which was kind of haunting. Good choice. Total package. Hell of a job, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I was fortunate to find that music. Sometimes it is difficult to find, you know, type of music, you know, to fit in with the type of piece you write. And I was fortunate to find this type of piece. It had, like what you said, a circus feeding to it. So I chose that piece there for the background. And
yeah,
music.
That was definitely a perfect choice. Dave Prophet, what did you think? David? Oh, looks like he had to hang up. Yay, what did you think? Yeah. Sif?
Oh, God.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, I was. Well, that was very eerie, classical poem with that scary breath at the end. I thought was brilliant, and of course the demonic laughing pretty much makes your skin peel off. But you do it in such a way that's, and I've said it before, is very Vincent Price-ish. And in those days of old movies where the voice, the tone, was what was frightening. You didn't need a lot of makeup if it was, you know, if you're watching the movie. It was the acting, and you did that in this poem. Very well done.
Well, I appreciate that. And I've also say very briefly one last thing. This poem, I know it, you know, if we get beyond the drama and the acting I put here, it is actually about suicide. It is actually about a female commit suicide, and I just use the foreplay, I mean the background there of them, you know, the puppeteer, but it's basically just someone's mind, a young female's mind, who's just completely out of control, and it comes to the point of suicide. So that is, That's not something intended there. It just came out that way.
Yeah. Well, you did a great job in conveying your thoughts, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate that idea.
Definitely. Hatter, can you come up for Frank, please? And then Lady A, I was wondering if you would mind reading Angel for me.
Sure.
Hatter, are you muted? Oh, his call from
did I scare
okay.
Him
out? I don't know if he scared them or something happened, but
that's okay,
yeah.
Deb. I've got to run anyway, so I'm going to stop over there really quick over there at Stevens there before I call the night. I'm about sleepy, so it's okay. You don't need any more comments there. I'm okay with that, and I appreciate the comments already that were given, and the time as well, and for you to put up my SoundCloud. I'm very appreciative of that. I will always be very much in depth with you there. So everyone, take care, my friends.
I appreciate the time you take to make the video for us, Frank. And
all right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care, my friend. Buenas noches. Take care.
Okay, sis, it looks like it's just me and you, but we only have the two palms. So would you read Angel, please?
Sure. And this is called The Dance of Pixies and Fairies. Love the title. Amid the garden's lemongrass, sun-specked smile, flying o'er the clouds up high, pixies and fairies engage in the sugar plum fairy dance, center stage, as the ballerina pirouetting. Curious dragonflies and colorful butterflies flit about in coordinated, capable rhythm, sprinkling a ring of silvery fairy dust with faint breaths of cornflower blue, drapes of purple, red, and orange satin, curved sunlit rays complete this magical scene. Careless whispers of pixie sprites heard, tipping our spirits swell beyond its fill. Within private chambers, heart deciphers calm, clear, melodious notes sung into the air as joy's presence welcomes coherent peace. Just as lofty, capricious winds arrive, pixie magic competitive to no other, spreading caring aura to callous, cruel, and cynical world. And peace.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was very tongue-twisty-ish.
Yeah, you did great, though. And
thank you.
I'm thinking that it's a little different than what we normally expected, too, which maybe sometimes it's partly like shock that we're like, wait, what? I love the title, The Dance of the Pixies and Fairies, Amid a Garden, Lemongrass, Sun, Speckled Smile, Flying Over the Clouds Up High. Just that is really gorgeous there. And then we get into some of the word bank, curious dragonflies and colorful butterflies flit about the coordinated, capable rhythm. Down the bottom, some within private chambers, heart deciphers calm, clear, melodious notes sung into the air as joy's presence welcomes coherent peace. Pixie's magic. Competitive to no other, spreading caring aura to callous, cruel, and cynical world. You're not used to hearing callous, cruel, and cynical in poems by our queen of romance. So the ending there, even though she was saying, you know, you can't compete with any of the others that are spreading that, it's quite a shock to the system to hear what we're used to hearing pure love and romance and stuff, but this is really an outstanding use of the word bank and the private chambers as the heart deciphers calm, clear, melodious notes. I think that she did an excellent job with the photo and the word bank. And thank you. I'm sorry we couldn't get it read while you were still awake, Angel, but I very much appreciate you writing for the show. We just, the studio was packed almost the entire night. So, again, I wish I could have read it while you were out there, but nonetheless, brilliant work. Lady A, I said it was a great read. Will you comment for her too, please?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that she used the word bank, but she used her descriptive words were all, you know, they were, the alliteration throughout this poem with the C words were quite interesting, and it was a lovely poem. I loved that part. It was very difficult to read aloud. I think I would have I read it once or twice just to practice so that it's so different for her. And I don't mean that it was difficult in a bad way. I just mean that it was a challenge to read all this alliteration and description of what was happening with the Pixies. And it was quite intelligent as well. I really did like it very much. And she gave me a run for my money, for sure.
Awesome comment. And again, thank you for reading it. And the last poem for tonight is from Phil. And I, of course, have a SoundCloud. And if you scroll down to my comment from earlier, sis, you can see the art that he chose to write to. And I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Inside the World of a Gatefold Album. The vinyl spins as the needle hits the groove. The air is filled with crackles, blowing dust from my brain. My bed shakes at the thundering overture of sound. I open the album up and take a step into a gatefold world. Walking in a cardboard street, I see people staring at me. A boy passes me by on a unicycle, juggling stuffed dragonflies. A girl dressed in clothes of pigeon feathers smiles at me with ballerina eyes and pigtails. Further on, a butterfly bows, offering lemongrass tea. Masked men with long hair burn books upon silver tiles. The light of the chandeliers reflect the lyrics written on the floor as giant grey fingers place cards centre stage. A cracked mirror has an image of a jester's crooked grin. A dark red cloak drapes over giant musical notes, dancing around like a puppeteer's mannequin doll. A strange lady with cats is playing the flute, dressed in a clown suit. Guards stand to attention on a wooden ball, where the queen sleeps underneath the candelabra, dreaming of a melody played in the right key, her twin commanding the band to whistle a lullaby. Turn the cover to see the dark silhouettes walking away in hats and long leather coats with the collars up, disappearing into an orange tinge of a static note, the stereos humming with the vibration of sound. End poem.
There's something, the way he wraps the word and snows it. And then the poem, Inside the World of Gatefold Album. Where is that? Further on, a butterfly bows, offering lemongrass tea. Masked men with long hair burn books upon silver tiles. A light on the chandelier reflects the lyrics written on the floor as giant gray fingers play cards center stage. I like how he dove in and just started pulling pieces out and brought it for us in each of the stanzas. And back further, walking a cardboard street, I see people staring at me. There's something really cool about the thought of a cardboard street, because it puts you in, like, okay, a cardboard street's not going to do anybody any good, so it's like a fake street. So now he's walking down this fake street with people staring at him, and the boy passes on a unicycle juggling. And then I don't know what it was about that, but walking on that cardboard street with people stare, you know that dream sometimes people have where you're walking naked and you realize everybody's looking at you and you don't know why you're there naked. And I got that kind of feel just from that cardboard street, and I don't even know why. But anyway, I thought that this was a really fun right. And, a cracked mirror has an image of Jester's crooked grin. A dark red cloak drapes over a giant musical note. So, I mean, detail all the way through, pulling life into the photo and paying fine tribute to the art. Another great read and write, Phil. An awesome recording, and I very much appreciate it. Sis, what did you think?
I thought it was really I love Phil's writing, and he has more than what is meeting the eye in his pieces. And I like he starts off with the vinyl spins as the needle hits the groove. The music that's throughout this piece, he begins there and builds from that. I think it's very, I don't want to say whimsical, because it's almost like hallucinogenic almost. It was hypnotic in that way, because it was so unusual. You know, a unicycle juggling stuffed dragonflies and a girl dressed in clothes of pigeon feathers. Like, the whole thing was very creative that way, that you can envision all of this happening. And then masked men with long hair burn books upon silver tiles. Makes you wonder about that line, the book burning in the 1940s. Lyrics written on the floor and giant fingers playing cards at center stage. The whole piece is very dreamlike and masterfully written. His dancing around like a puppeteer mannequin doll. A strange lady with cats is playing the flute dressed in a clown suit. There's just, you know, there's the word bank was used in a really brilliant way here, I think. And it says, dreaming of a melody played in the right key. Her twin commanding the band to whistle a lullaby. You know, it's just, you know, then the darkened silhouettes walking away. And in the end, the stereo is humming with the vibration of sound, which was probably like the newer part of history where you were able to capture that on a record player. It was really, really a really great piece of literature.
Absolutely. Awesome comment. Appreciate it very much. And looks like this is all we got. And just a quick reminder that tomorrow night on A Team of Voices, you can hang out with Sky down the tube with really random stuff. And that's at 8 p.m. Eastern, and she's got some really freaky prompts. So check them out, and we will see you there. And in the meantime, I'm always blown away by the poetry. It's amazing how so many different, incredibly powerful, yet totally different masterpieces can all be sparked from the same fistful of words, and none of them be like, you know, similar. They all just went everywhere, and it was a brilliant night of poetry. Thank you, Hatter, for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Sky and David and Wayne and Aggressman and AP and Sweet Pea and Frank. And thank you for the poem, Angel, and for the recording, Phil, and my dear sis, Lady A, thank you for calling and hanging with me till the last moment here. I appreciate all of you very, very much. And I am about to put the link up for a peek at next week's show. The prompt next week is red. So look at the images and colors and stuff and choose your photo so you can dig into that. In the meantime, they are live over at the mortuary for Open Darkness. If anyone's not too tired and has a poem to share, they'd love to hear from you. And again, sky tomorrow. And on that note, sis, love you. We're out of here. Love and respect, everyone.
Thank you.
Sweet dreams.